This is URN.
It's the drama show on URN. It is 36 past three. This is the very first of the season for new theatre interviews. I am joined by the cast and the director of the latest play for new theatre, Freaks. I'm joined by Neve. I'm joined by Lara. I'm joined by Kate. Say hi, everyone.
Hello.
Well, first show of the season. It's going to be a hard one. You've only been working for at least 17 days when it opens. Are you all confident?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're extremely confident. The cast have been amazing and have worked really hard, and it's looking amazing already, so
fantastic.
Couldn't ask for more.
Well, to sort of let everyone know what Freaks is about, I don't know if I should explain it, or rather this is better coming from the director. I think actually, Neve, you should be the one to explain.
Yeah, so Freak is a two-handed piece exploring female sexuality and sort of expectations from society in the modern day. The two characters, Leah and Georgie, give different perspectives on what it means to be a woman nowadays, and really ask the audience to think about their expectations and preconceptions towards women nowadays.
Fantastic. I mean, as you said, as I was talking to you beforehand, this is a play that's very modern, very up to date, written in 2014, deals with things that we as students and we as young adults know about, things like Snapchat and all that. You know, you have, for example, one side of things, the person who is very much just now coming into sex, you know, very young, 15, I believe, which is Kate's character. Mm-hmm. And you have someone who is believing they can retake the sexuality, discuss this very much. I'm going to be very sex positive by becoming a stripper, which is Lara's character. Yep. How would you, all of you, but especially the actresses, how would you say, in sort of terms of, let's say, this play, how do you feel as a conversation piece this is fantastic for dispelling people's ideas about the way the female sexuality works and how society also treats it?
Well, I think in terms of the play, you see both ends of the spectrum on what people conceive kind of the way we go about sex to be like. So from my character's point of view, you see her kind of preparation and expectations for what she feels like could happen when she has sex for the first time. And then you kind of later on see that all the things she had hoped and had planned would happen didn't happen. Mm. So you kind of see the actual reality of what it's like. And then for Lara's character, Georgie, you kind of see the kind of brutal, honest side to that kind of conversation, which is a bit more hard-hitting and perhaps not as relatable for people as to my character, probably.
Of course.
I think my character, Georgie, definitely. She, this is a woman who's grown up always being very sex-positive. She's very confident in herself. And with this long-term relationship ending at the start of the play, she's kind of very comfortable already, and she thinks, well, of course I can reclaim my sexuality. This is no problem. I remember what it was like. Here I go. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's this filter between your expectations of sexual empowerment, and definitely one that's imposed on women. This is what sexual empowerment looks like. But there's a filter over that already, which as soon as she gets down to it, very quickly the curtain drops and the reality of the situation
is
revealed.
It's really the sort of discussion of, for example, the base level of idealism about how, yes, conceptually and sort of, you know, in many ways, in the ideal of things, we can do certain things like this. We can reclaim our sexuality, especially in terms of talking about, you know, women's sexuality. But of course, there is that harsh, terrible reality towards things. And it seems like this play really blurs lines between expectation and idealism and the terrible reality of things. For example, definitely both of you experienced this. Kate, with your character, you experienced, for example, that kind of, I suppose the best way to describe it is the sort of the Black Mirror, the sort of the smartphone, sort of the barrier, the Snapchat, the sort of the plastic, the artificial. So in your opinion, how do you think sort of the advent of Snapchat and so this sort of widespread sort of people have now become more accustomed to sexuality through means of social media and so on and so forth. How do you think this has affected the discussions about sex positivity, sex negativity, of women's sexuality, and just in general the way that society treats these issues?
I think in terms of being comfortable with what's going to happen, I think social media is, it could be seen as both a positive and negative, because in some ways you see Leah kind of doing her research. She's looking online, she's looking through magazines, she's texting her friends, she's saying what this friend said not to do that, this friend said to do this. In some ways, it's a lot easier to talk about this topic nowadays. It's not such quite, it's not a taboo subject anymore. However, then you see the kind of negative side to that. Leah talks about how someone posts negative comments about her online and how everyone sees it before she can even take it down. In some ways, it makes it a lot less private, not such a personal experience.
Of course.
Which I think you can definitely see that in the play, kind of both sides to that.
I also have a question for all of you. Anyone may ask or answer this as they may see fit. But when we talk about things like, for example, sort of theatre as a social experiment, showing people how to be conscious, how to sort of get them to think about things, would you say this play is not just perfect for women who are exploring and sort of discussing and thinking about sexuality and their relation in society, but also men? Because with the advent of things like porn, and it's become very much sort of widespread, mass media porn almost, in my opinion, a lot of young men have been growing up with certain ideas about sexuality which are frankly quite warped. Some men, of course, have looked upon these things and thought for themselves and sort of gone, actually, this is the way that this is portrayed, but actually this is completely wrong. Do you think that this sort of kind of piece of theatre, the way that you've sort of gone out and produced and acted it, and also how it's been written, of course, by the playwright, is a perfect way of getting men to think about their role in society and how they negatively affect the lives of women in their sex lives?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's perfectly timed as well with the cases such as like Brock Turner over in America and things. It's a very current discussion to be having, and I think people are ready to discuss it. Whereas before, people's varying views on the subjects, as Kate said, it was more of a taboo. But yeah, this play challenges every audience member, not just the men, but the women as well, to see that what society is doing and constructing in women is negative and does have these bad effects. It just really provokes a discussion, I think, that will be had after the play. And it doesn't necessarily tell you what to think exactly, it just shows you where there's questions that need to be answered.
Yeah, this is definitely a piece that people can find debate in. And therefore, I would definitely probably recommend that people go down, therefore, to see this play. To talk about also the stylistics of things, like how theatre, you know, how the stage is crafted and beyond, because we can talk about sort of the theory of theatre and the theory of this play for hours upon hours and get many questions answered, but also new ones opened up. Let's talk about, of course, the actual effort and all that you've put into things and how to get it working, because, of course, theatre is both stylistics and theory. So how have you made this play work in terms of staging and so on? Is this sort of an avant-garde or a surrealist kind of setup, or is this very much realistic, naturalistic, and gets down to the dirty pretty quickly?
I think because of the way the play was written, we realised straight away that we couldn't do one or the other, but we had to blend both the very naturalistic, realistic elements that the audience would identify with. So for us, we've made two bedrooms on stage for the girls to live in and inhabit. But because of the way it's written in this sort of duologue overlapping monologue style, we realised it wasn't going to be purely realistic. And so the back wall is completely covered in magazines showing the influence of sort of the media and things on these expectations that we're discussing. And the lighting and the tech that we're using within the production as well enhances that surrealist nature, I guess, allowing lines to be warped and the differences between the dream states and the reality to blur. Again, just provoking further questions for the audience to, answer.
I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, this is a two-handed play, so there's only going to be two actresses. And a lot of the time, they don't interact with one another. It's very much in their mindset. And, of course, they do eventually talk, but a lot of it is definitely based on this, you know, them speaking to the audience, them speaking their mind, them giving the monologues. That's very hard to do because, as anyone knows who has acted before, being on by theatre, you know, on the stage by yourself and giving these long, long things, these long sort of bits of either discourse or these long bits of, you know, you're giving your mind for so long, it can be very hard to learn these kind of lines. How have you two actresses felt about this process? Is it, in your opinion, a very hard thing to do in the 17 days you've been given? Or would you say, actually, it's compared to, say, having to be on stage all the time and having to react to other people, in many ways, this is also, well, it's not the hardest, it's a dealable thing, it's not easy, but, you know, it's not as hard as people may think.
I think certainly with monologues, as soon as you get given a script and the first four pages are monologues,
it's intimidating.
Yeah, it's very intimidating. Yeah. However, once you get into it, I think Kate mentioned before, you are storytelling a lot of the time, and as soon as you get into that story, it becomes as if the audience, you've, as characters, invited them into this private sphere. You've invited them in and you want to tell them your story. So you become very eager, I think. I think as soon as it becomes dialogue and then it returns to that whole having to bounce off each other, being aware of the other actress, whereas when you're in your own space, I think it's almost easier.
Of course.
Initially, say if it's when Georgie's having long monologues, that would be a time for Leah to show her how comfortable she is in her space, and she's just in her room like you would at home. So then when we're in those scenes where it's one-on-one, like talking to the actors, that's when you've really got to act quickly and react to what they're saying. You don't have as long to kind of think about what you've got to do next. It's much more conversational than the monologues.
Do you think there's definitely a clear divide between the two characters in this way? One is obviously gonna, perhaps you've put on a very confident motion for, say, one, and the other one, for example, Leah, is not so confident.
I think they are very different, although they share one thing in common, which is their kind of different experiences with sex.
Yeah.
And towards the end, you kind of see them bond over this, as Leah seeks advice. She wants Georgie to tell her about what happened to her, but then you see Georgie kind of back away a bit because she still feels really vulnerable, which is how you saw Leah at the start.
Mm.
I think you definitely see both sides to that, but they're still very different in the way that Leah is adamant to be a woman. She says, I know I've done this and I want to do this because I am a woman, but she's still 15. She's still a little girl in some people's eyes.
I think the journey as well of both characters is shown in the change from monologues to duologue, because once they're in their private space, it's just them and the audience. They've chosen to share this, whereas as soon as it becomes a dialogue, you're kind of being forced into admitting things that it's fine to say in your bedroom and it's fine to think about when you're alone masturbating in your bedroom, but as soon as your 15-year-old niece is asking you stuff, it suddenly becomes very real and it's a lot more awkward. And
definitely.
You definitely see the journey there.
In that sense, a lot of people who are watching will definitely sort of feel it is intensely relatable.
Yeah.
Mm. So just to sort of finish up, are we all confident that the 70-day journey you've learned the lines, you think you're confident enough that this is going to be a fantastic show?
Yeah.
You okay?
Yes.
Fantastic. That's what I'd love to hear. Well, I'm finishing up, Ella. Anyway, so thanks for coming on, everyone.
Thank you, I really appreciate it.
This show, Freaks, is going to be on from Wednesday till Saturday next week. You can either buy your tickets on the door on the nights of performance, or you can get them earlier.
You can reserve them online, yeah.
Yeah, for it's £1 less for members. Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you. Cheers.
This is URN.